John Shannon joins us. Johnny, how are you?
Good, Jace. How are you?
I am excellent.
Good, good.
Great first night of the playoffs. Of course, three games that went down to the wire, even though the Ducks were dominating early. Tonight, which series that goes tonight intrigues you the most?
Well, I think it's the I'm debating between St. Louis, Chicago, and L.A., San Jose. I think I'm actually going to have to pick the late one, simply because I think both of those teams are a little healthier than what we're going to see in Chicago and St. Louis. You know, and the Blues don't have Oshie. The Blues don't have Berglund. You have to wonder how that's going to affect things. Taves and Kane are probably playing but haven't played in 3 weeks, either of them. So, to me, there might be a little rust and a weakened team there. But the heavy hockey that we're going to see out of California, to me, is something that's fun to watch.
There's going to be three 100-point team, John, that will be out in the first round of the playoffs just because of the matchup, and there's a lot of dominant teams. You look at Tampa Bay, and John Cooper's job, I think, is secure. But I find it interesting that if Montreal lost, people would wonder about Michel Therrien. If St. Louis loses, people would wonder about Ken Hitchcock. And if San Jose loses, Todd McClellan, which is strange considering those teams were that good, but you know that's kind of the harsh reality. If one of those teams loses, or let's say hypothetically all of them lost, who do you think would be the most likely to let go and why?
I think you've forgotten one team, and I don't think they're going to, but I think he'd put Pittsburgh in that list too.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Columbus didn't lose that game by that much last night, and if the Blue Jackets can squeeze something out of that, and Dan Bylsma, I think, is in real trouble if they don't beat the Blue Jackets. Cooper, heck, he could be Coach of the Year. He's not going anywhere. I think it would be a coin toss between McClellan and Hitchcock. I also don't see Therrien going anywhere, even if they were eliminated in this first round, just because I think that they've been pretty good this season, and you know what I mean, certainly the emotional people in Quebec will say that Therrien deserves something, but when you have 100 points in a season, you also deserve to stick around a bit.
You mentioned Pittsburgh. Columbus, man, that was a physical game last night. Brandon
sure
Dubinsky
was,
was in Crosby's face all night long. You know, Bobrovsky was awful. I felt like he let in two really bad goals, and even the fourth one debatable, although Sutter did have a lot of room down the wing. You look at Bylsma and that Pittsburgh team, they don't seem to have the depth. Like, they got the great players at the top, John, but their bottom six forwards, they really don't have any attack after their top two lines. And I don't know how much that's on the coach or how much that's on the team, how they built that team, relying too much kind of on their top-end guys.
Well, and I think, Jason, what you're talking about there is when they build with their big guys is cap space. You know, they spent so much money making sure that guys like Crosby and Malkin and Letang stick around. You know, they can't spend the money on other guys, and I think that that's a problem. Mind you, I did think that Brandon Sutter had a pretty good game last night as a third-line center, and that's a positive for the Penguins. And but when you look at all the other guys that are on that team that, quite frankly, even hardcore hockey fans have a tough time knowing who's on the third and fourth lines for Pittsburgh, I think that's a problem. You know, there are rumors and stories that Bylsma and Shiro have not been getting along either. So I think if you put two and two together and the Penguins lose, you'll definitely get four.
Okay. Looking ahead to tonight, Chicago-St. Louis, John, the Blues, TJ Oshie and Berglund are out. You know, that team, if they're healthy, I would have picked them easily. Patrick Kane has...
You picked them easily over Chicago?
If they were 100% healthy, I think I would, just because Kane and Taves are, you know, Kane's got that huge knee brace on. And I think Chicago, like, I like Chicago a lot. When St. Louis is healthy, they can beat you with almost any line.
Yeah, maybe I'm giving the champions too much due. I think Marian Hossa is as much of a great playoff performer as we've seen in the last decade. Duncan Keith is the same way. Patrick Sharp, I think that what we saw at the Olympics was a glimpse of how good he is. I'm having a real difficult time not picking the Blackhawks. In fact, I think I have picked the Blackhawks.
Okay.
I like their depth. I like their speed. And I think they I think they intimidate the St. Louis Blues. I think that that's one of those series that, and I don't mean intimidate physically. I'm just saying that I think that they look across the ice and say, hey, that's the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Blues just can't get over it.
John Shannon from Sportsnet joins us. The Minnesota-Colorado series. Colorado, of course, the surprise team in the NHL this year. No one expected them to do what they've done, and it's been fantastic. Minnesota, very quietly, was 2 points shy of being a 100-point team. They're not flashy. They're the Minnesota Wild. Out of all the number four seeds, they might have the best chance for an upset. Tell me how you see this series going, and what do you think of that blue line of Minnesota against the young forwards of Colorado?
Well, you can't help but love the blue line. I mean, when you consider Ryan Suter, I bet the over-under on Ryan Suter tonight's 35 minutes. And Brodin, to me, is underrated, unappreciated, even by his own country. You know, last year's rookie voters, I think Brodin is really good.
Yeah.
Here's the problem for me when it comes to the Minnesota Wild. Their starting goaltender tonight is Ilya Brizgalov. And Briz's great numbers during the regular season are overshadowed by his playoff numbers in his career. And I'm going to have to ask for a stay of execution for the Wild, simply because I don't know what Brizgalov's going to do between the pipes. That, to me, is the big variable in that series. The other thing is that I guys like Zach Parise have been solid. Koivu, when he's healthy, has been solid, but they haven't been spectacular. I don't think they will give the Avalanche much of a test even through the series. I think this could be a lot quicker than most people realize. The Avalanche have a lot more depth right now, and even without Matt Duchene, with Landeskog playing the way he is, with Ryan O'Reilly playing the way he does, and Nathan MacKinnon doing what he does, they to me are just A, fun to watch, and B, so darn deep. That Eric Johnson on the blue line has also been one of the great surprises this season. Nobody gave him a chance after he got traded from St. Louis. I think they're going to surprise a few people in this first round.
John, some other news. Brendan Shanahan leaves the NHL office. Now goes
did I,
into.
I, did I miss that? Was that news?
Yeah.
Something happened in Toronto.
Yeah, I know. It's
did a tree fall and nobody heard.
It's crazy. It's crazy. You worked in the NHL office for a long time. The job he was doing, how much will be experience for him to be a president of hockey operations, or is he still virtually a rookie in that managerial point?
I think he's a rookie. I think he's going to end up going back to his time as a player, particularly those last 5 years in Detroit, and his ability to observe and manage and glean the information that he got from the time with Kenny Holland, with Steve Yzerman, with Scotty Bowman. Brendan's got a tough task. The bigger question is, will he buy himself some time by keeping guys like Dave Nonis and Dave Poulin and Claude Lozelle and Randy Carlyle around, buy him some time to learn the ropes before he, quote-unquote, changes the culture? Or how will this work? You know, the one thing I can tell you, he garners a great deal of respect from the players. And if he can get through to Dion Phaneuf, and if he can get through to Phil Kessel, which he, by the way, has had one-on-one interviews with already, I think that's a big part of the communication issue here in Toronto. I'm one of those guys that actually thinks he should keep Carlyle. Fire his assistant coaches, keep Carlyle, change a bit of the culture, and try to create an aspect where the players have someone to go to. Randy had three assistants in Cronin, Gordon, and Farish, and they were all hard asses. There was no guy that the players could confide in, and nobody was a buffer. And I do think there's a place in our business for the players to have a guy that can be that buffer, and Carlyle didn't have any. I fully suspect that Shanahan will tell him, you go find somebody to do that job, or I'll find one for you.
A lot of those guys were Carlyle's guys, though. Farish came with him from Anaheim.
Yeah, but the other two were picks he picked for Brian Burke by Brian Burke for Ron Wilson.
Okay.
So I fully expect Farish to stay and Cronin and Gordon to leave.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan then of having to keep assistant coaches that aren't yours. I've seen it in Edmonton, and I'm not a huge believer that it works. So I think it's...
Well, and just as an aside on the, you know, I'm not trying to be TMZ here, but Randy Carlyle and Dave Farish's cottages are side by side. If Farish goes, Carlyle goes, and vice versa.
Oh, interesting. John, what now? You say Carlyle stays.
That's my personal opinion, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the advanced stats guys will look, and you can look just at shots for and against. It's pretty obviously skewed. And then you look deeper, and, you know, they're not a puck possession team. Will he have to change the style that he coaches for that team, or is that team just not good enough?
I think the latter. I don't think this team indicated and dictated any of the play the way Randy really wanted it to, particularly on the blue line. And I do think there has to be some movement, maybe up to six or seven guys being removed. Everybody thinks that's a lot. There were 12 different roster changes from Game 7 against the Boston Bruins last year. So I just think they have to find the right chemistry, and it may be moving some of the big pieces to the puzzle. Maybe it's moving a Bozak. Maybe it's moving a Kadri. Maybe it's moving Jake Gardner. But something has to happen.
John, also hearing some changes. A good buddy of mine, unfortunately, in Calgary, I'm hearing Sportsnet's play-by-play crew will be different next year.
You know what? With everything, with every change comes opportunities for some and dissolution of jobs for others. And, you know, this is part and parcel of what Rogers is trying to do with their new television package and trying to make sure that everything is in lockstep with what's going on a national basis. So, you're right, and it's disappointing, but at the same time, it's a fact of life in our business. If I told you I hadn't been fired once or twice, I wouldn't have enough notches in my belt.
John, do you know, do you guys at Sports have any plans for TV viewers that will be different next year as far as hockey goes?
What I can tell you is that, I mean, on a night like last night, you'd be able to watch both the Pittsburgh game and the Montreal game on different channels. Unfortunately, most people in the West that don't have Bell Express View and they have Shaw weren't able to watch the Pittsburgh game other than online. What you're going to see is a broader distribution of games using all of the Sportsnet channels and using City TV and the CBC. And I think that what it will do is it will create a greater opportunity for all the games to be played and a greater opportunity for the viewer to program as opposed to expecting programmers to figure out and decide what you as a viewer want.
John, it's definitely going to be interesting, and the playoffs will be very interesting. One final one for you. Do you expect, because I know you talked to a lot of guys in the league office, are we going to see any tweaks at all to rule changes next year in the NHL?
I think we're going to see a real concentrated look at expanded video replay. I do think we're going to try to deal with goalie interference a lot better. The big argument is that who's going to look at it. You can't have the referees look at it, because if you have the referees look at it and you got 32 referees, you're going to have 32 interpretations. And that's why the war room, the situation room in Toronto, is so good, because you get the same group making the same rulings. And it is one opinion. And that I think that once that gets settled, you're going to see some small tweaks to video replay that allows goalie interference to be judged accordingly.
Oh, that could be an interesting one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the hot topic you're hearing, maybe, is the interference and, you know, as you say, judged accordingly. So what do you think? What do you think right now? Is there too much gray area then?
Well, I think it's totally up to the interpretation of each referee.
Yeah.
And some guys are I don't say in a malicious way, but some guys are a lot more intent in monitoring it as opposed to some guys who don't mind the traffic in front.
Yeah.
And there has to be, you know, that Jason, you know as much as I do. What we've talked about all along is what you want your officials to be is you want them to be consistent. And if you can create a level of consistency, then things are going to be better for everybody in every game and fairer for everybody in every game. And I think that's really important. And remember, when you have a goalie interference in one game, particularly in the playoffs or in a late season matchup that has playoff implications, that doesn't affect just those two teams. It affects the teams that are watching and actually fighting for those points as well. And that's where there needs to be more consistency. And I say that on the basis knowing full well that video replay in the NHL has never had the growing pains or the issues that Major League Baseball is having right now as well.
John, always good to catch up with you. Talk again soon.
Hey, have a happy Easter, Jason.